to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. How are you today? You're going to be high and tight by the time we get finished with you. Guess who's back? Nobody else but our resident sex therapist, expert, friend, and frank talker, Jamila Dawson. We are going to talk about bringing sexy back. Brains, look, with the onslaught of sexual assault, the Me Too movement, the male bashing, online dating, text messaging, people have lost the art of sexuality and sensuality. And, you know, at one point or another, you are going to have to meet that person's representative face-to-face, okay? So we're going to give you some tools and some tricks and some trades and some dirty words that you can say to bring your sexy back. Isn't that right, JD?
Yes, it is. So excited to be here.
I love you, Jamila Dawson. I love to call you JD because it's just so disruptive.
You're the only one who does that, and I do love it.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for coming here on The Edge. Can you tell my Brains a little bit about you and your expertise before we just really get down and dirty, because this is going to be fun?
Sure. I spent about 8 years working as a sex educator. I worked at women-owned and operated adult stores. So anytime, like if you've ever heard the Pleasure Factory or other places, I was a person working there, and that was a blast. It was amazing to talk with people about all kinds of things, lubricants and condoms and toys and videos and books, anything that helped enhance their life. And then after doing that for a while, I realized I wanted to get kind of deeper and see, was there deeper ways of helping people? And so that's when I went back to school and got my master's in clinical psychology, and I've been a sex therapist ever since.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, we are about to bring sexy back. We are going to walk in some pumps and a cute short skirt, cross our legs with no panties on. So this is going to be
things.
So much fun. You know, me and Mr. Magnificent are celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary and his 60th birthday this year.
Oh, my goodness. That's huge.
Huge.
That's a big, big deal. What are you guys going to do?
Girl, let me tell you what we're going to do. Now, I've been, you know, trimming down. Okay, I may not be lost all the weight, but it's going to be high and tight. I got a presidential suite at a fine hotel, and we going to fuck. Oh, yes. I'm making it put this back into
it. Oh, you said it.
You said
the words. That sounds amazing.
Now, we might
both
end up at the chiropractor afterwards, but, oh, it's going down. It's going down. 35 years, absolutely, and you're still sexually attracted to the other person. You have an appetite for them. I mean, you know, someone can say my husband's name, really, and they just see me just sit at attention. I adore him, and he adores me, and that is so magical. But, you know, the world is different now. Everybody's not on that adore. Some's just on that old freak tip, you know. But how do women
bring back? There's so much out there, right?
Well, you know, it's a smorgasbord out there, you know, because everybody's sexually liberated now. You got a man or a woman, you know, whatever fits your fancy. So how do people, from your perspective, bring their sexy back? You know, what are you looking for when you're sitting next to that person? How can you put off something that's alluring?
Well, I think there's so much depends on what's happening in the person's life. I think we act as though sexuality is like a light switch. You're just supposed to kind of flick it on, and then you're horny and ready to go, or you flick it off. And really, it's something, sensuality and eroticism are something to cultivate in your daily life. It doesn't mean you have to spend all your time doing it, but it does mean, what are the things around you that remind you of your sensuality, remind you that you're a sexual person, and how do you weave that in your life daily? A lot of times couples don't want to schedule erotic time together, and I think that's so important. If a dentist appointment is important, you schedule it. Sometimes people think that takes the spontaneity out of it, but I say if it's important to you, then you make time for it.
Right.
Also, people are really stressed out. There's just a lot going on in our lives, and it's just so critical to slow down and prioritize.
Oh, but sex is such a stress reliever, girl, please.
Right?
Really,
I mean, it's good for, like, stress, for cramps, for anxiety, for just feeling connected to another person, to pass the time. Sex is great for all kinds of stuff.
Or so being connected to yourself.
More,
you know, there's a lot of people that like self-gratification out there, too.
I think that's critical. I actually think men, women, everybody should have their own sex life. Your body is yours. Your sexuality is yours. And it's important to, like, know how to put yourself and enjoy that. Sometimes people feel like, oh, that's bad, or that's I'm a loser if I do that. And absolutely not. Your body, you should know how it works, and you should be able to have access to that.
Right. Preach on it.
And then, of course,
so
when it comes to dating, that's a whole other thing. That's
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're walking into an upscale, you know, maybe coffee shop. You're sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
You see someone attractive down at the other end. How do you suggest that we make a move now? You know, women have really kind of lost the art. I've talked to several women, and they say, I don't even know how to flirt anymore. Well, number one, you got to get out them flats.
Yeah.
Get you a kitten heel or something.
Right,
get out
like,
of your Birkenstocks.
Let's try some, like, cute flats or maybe – or what are those – oh, the Crocs. I can't.
Oh,
the Crocs
does that?
Make me cringe every time I see
Ew.
Them. I mean, I hear they're very comfortable, but they make me cringe every time I see them. Like, those are not sexy or erotic.
There's nothing sexy about that. Okay, so let's start with women. What are some of the tips? What are some of the things you're seeing that, you know, that women can improve on? I say put on some lipstick. You know, you don't have to have big pouty lips, but just something that looks attractive when you talk. I say lipstick. What do you say?
I think so much of we're in the middle of a cultural shift of what we consider attractive, what we're trained to do. My mother was very conservative. Like, she was very much like, you should wear slips, you should wear dresses, like, don't wear pants all the time. But I guess I want women to express themselves, but not feel trapped of, like, you have to wear a bunch of makeup. Like, I want them to want to wear makeup if they so choose. What I do want for people, though, is wear clothes that make you feel good, that have some color to them, that flatter you. Find some way, like, when I see people just dressing in grays and in very baggy clothes and with no...
Or the yoga,
like,
pants
that they put on.
I say set them on fire.
Like, put them in a whole pile and just
really?
Light it on
okay.
fire.
Okay, you already went,
like,
to the gym, take them off.
Right, like, there's a purpose for clothing. And so I would love it if I saw more people take a true interest in their clothing of just as represent what I want is this make me feel good, not just as this functional. And there's so much information now about how to find your style and what works for you. So, and also, like, flattering hairstyles, like that. I think that's so important.
Right.
But really, what I would say is it comes down to, like, if you're at a coffee shop and you see somebody attractive, I don't see that it's that common anymore for somebody to, in real time, reach out to a person. Part of that is because, I think, like, not to male bash, but I think, unfortunately, not all men, obviously, but some men have created a reputation where a lot of women feel unsafe if they're approached by a man in public. And so
I think that's a little paranoia too. You know, I think that it's such a heightened sense of nervousness and media attention because there's a lot of great, wonderful people and there's a lot of opportunities. And when you feel that energy, it's only 30 seconds. You can back out of that. You know, one thing that annoys me about men though is when I come through and you do not hold the door for me.
Yes, that's kind of basic.
I can tell
manners.
If chivalry
basic
is
manners
dead,
really...
but then again, it's a different time. Why can't I hold the door for gentlemen to come in sometime? You know, I just think that
I will too.
My husband
but
has done
right,
that
what we're
since
talking about
we
is
have been,
slowing that thing
yeah, since
down.
We've been
right?
dating. since we have been dating. He has always opened the door for me. I don't know. It's just a welcoming. I don't know. Old-fashioned. They can say what they want. I like that. Okay, so let's move on to men. What should men... I feel sorry for them right now because they don't know what to do. You know, they see some little hot chick, you know, they might want to burn at the end of the bar, and they can't send her a drink. You know, they can't go in and feel comfortable talking to him.
I think they could.
They should.
I feel like
they
men
should,
can,
but it's a scary
some of the
time.
Things that they can send her a drink. But here's the thing. Like, if somebody is actually trying to get to know somebody, there's a very different vibe than if they're trying to simply assert what they want. This is what I see with when sex isn't great or when relationships aren't great or when guys are coming across in a way that's not cool. They're only interested in, I want this, not can we figure out what we want. Mm-hmm. And that's, and I see that too with some women. And it's so important of, if you're going to go and approach someone, are you leading with curiosity or are you leading with expectation? And that's that. There's a huge difference between you owe me your time or you should want to date me versus let's have a conversation and see if this is truly mutual. Same thing with sex. If there's something you're interested in, you don't try to, like, push the person to want the same thing you want. You find out, like, you have a conversation or you encourage each other to touch each other's bodies and you see, like, does the person seem to want this? Check in with them. Is this sexy for you? Is this good for you? Do you want me to shift? Show me something you like. Like, that's how you build an erotic connection. And here's the thing. A lot of men weren't trained for that. I'm not mad, but I do want men to understand a lot of the ways that they were trained weren't good for the women around them and actually aren't good for them either. And here's a chance for us to learn new ways of connecting that aren't sterile, that aren't so frightened and so rigid that it's not yummy, but a way of like, hey, I want to get to know you and standing, you know, a good distance away from the person. But like, hey, I noticed you across the way. You're not wearing headphones. That's a big signal. Leave me alone.
Right.
But I noticed you across the way. Can I chat with you for a couple of minutes? And if they say no, then it's unfortunately okay, and you move on. But I love apps, though, because you can really, like, get very clear about what you are looking for. That's really what it is. Know what you're looking for. Be clear about that.
All right. So let's move into some fun stuff. So once you get there and, you know, you done went through all the preliminaries, like I said, you done met the representative and all the brains running around the board of directors in their head. So now it's time to get in the room and get on with some business. You know what? Erotic talk is fantastic. You know, you can get somebody off just by talking to them. On Google.
Yeah, you say the right thing.
Do you know they have a thing called granny porn? And you can have such an erotic talk with grandparents on the phone.
Because we know this, right? That people can have a sex drive until their 80s and 90s, and I don't know, the way that you're talking, you seem like one of those people that you will be going for quite some time.
Let me tell you something. Since you brought that up, girl, this blew my wig back. I'm not going to disclose who it was, but a friend of mine's mother asked me to take her to your former employer, the Pleasure Chest in Hollywood.
Fabulous.
Wait a minute, she's in her 80s, right? I didn't even know how to receive this. But not only did she get her an appliance, but she got an extra set of batteries.
Excellent. This is the thing. Like,
girl,
our sex drive is powerful. Powerful.
I fell out.
And here
I was
myths,
like, Lord. Oh, Lord. It was cute. And I was like, she had been asking me to take her a couple times. I was like, no, maybe she wants a book or something. Girl, she got her an appliance and extra batteries. So I was like, bravo.
She is owning her sexuality. And these are some of the myths that we're kind of living with that we don't even know of, I'm only going to be a sexual being. It's only okay to be a sexual being between the ages of, like, 20 and maybe, like, 60. When really, sexuality is this lifelong process and adventure. And I personally am invested in, like, going until the very end. I don't want to give that up. And there's no reason why I should have to.
Absolutely. So, wait a minute. We got off the subject. So tell us a little bit about sexy erotic talk, just the verbal communication and stimulation that because, you know, that's what it is. The orgasm is mental. You know, the physical is the after effect. But if you're not engaged in it psychologically, so how do they go there?
Right. Then it's so dirty talk or even just helping somebody feel comfortable. Again, if you're leading with playfulness and curiosity, it's really hard to go wrong. A lot of times people run into a wall because there's this vision of like, oh, we're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and then it's going to mean an orgasm for her, and then I'm going to get on top of her, and then I'll have an orgasm, or we'll try to orgasm together. It's this very mechanistic, goal-driven process.
It sounds like something from the Big Bang Theory.
Right, exactly. It's just like, I will insert formula A, and that's not how
Sheldon
works. Right, exactly. Like, the Sheldons of the world, please
I say
hold
with
back.
Love. I do.
But we need
I
to
do.
Play, and people have this, again, this expectation of how it should, mutually discovering how it is in the moment.
Right.
Sometimes somebody isn't hard at the moment. That's not a signal that they're not into it. It simply means that their penis isn't hard right now. Bodies are strange. They do very interesting things. Just because somebody is wet doesn't actually signal that they want to have sex. Sometimes somebody can be dry but still want to have sex. But really just noticing, like, okay, so why don't we use fingers? Why don't we get some high-quality lubricant? Why don't we play and see what happens? You ever see kids? Little kids don't go like, okay, I'm going to be a spaceman, but you have to show up this way and this way. You're doing it wrong. No, they just play. And adults, we have to get back to, can we just be curious and see what happens? And I guarantee you, between that and just breathing, you'll have a much better experience.
Wow. Well, we are doing it in full effect. Okay, I'm going to get my breathing on. I'm give me a respirator when I get finished. And I told you now.
I know. It sounds like you will definitely need a little oxygen tank.
And
really, the artistry.
And I will wear with pride. Absolutely.
Yes.
So thanks so much, Jamila Dawson, for being back with us here on The Edge. It is always so fun and enlightening and free and filthy. I love it.
So much fun. So much fun to talk about.
So tell
that.
My brains how
never
to get in
boring.
Contact
never
with
boring.
You.
People can find me through my website, JamilaDawson.com, and then I'm also on Instagram as Jamila D Sex Therapy. And I'd love to connect with people and if people want to enhance and just have a quick...
Well, she's here, and she's great for if you have upcoming events, if there are women's conferences, if there are men's conferences, if there are gay conferences. She is a phenomenal speaker that will captivate the audience, that will be clear, that will be concise, that will be funny and fun. So reach out to her. I absolutely adore her to the moon and back. Brains, you know how I roll. I'll be trying to give it to you sexy here early in the morning so that the rest of your day is feeling fine. Go back and leave some comments. Follow me. Sign up. You know, be one of my loyal followers here on The Edge. I got some good stuff for you. You know, I got my monthly drawing. We got the Edgy Awards. We've got, you know, trips, art, entertainment. This is not your ordinary podcast. This is an extraordinary podcast. Thank you, JD. I love you, baby.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Bye.
All right, brains. Have a super good day. I'm counting on you. Get your sex life in order. Bring sexy back.